May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 833. 833. Thy mercy, Lord, we praise, of judgment too we sing, for all the riches of thy grace, our grateful tribute bring. Hymn 833.
Of God, we read together Leviticus chapter 16. the book Leviticus, chapter 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself, and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute for you for ever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute for ever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he help us each in prayer. Kind and ever merciful and gracious Lord God in heaven, we come before thee this evening and seek thy gracious help and blessing here as we worship thee. Oh, do send us, Lord, that help that we need. Help one to speak, help each one of us to hear. Bless us, Lord, with that gift of living faith, that we may truly profit from the things that are read and spoken and sung. Lord, we do pray that faith may be mixed with our hearing, and we may hear to the profit of our souls. Lord, do deliver us from that sin of unbelief. Lord, keep us from questioning, murmuring, reasoning before thee. Lord, may we truly have our mouths in the dust. Lord, may we be brought to true confession of our sin and those transgressions, those, Lord, those sins that are against light and knowledge. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou forgive us our baseness, our vileness. We pray, Lord, that we may know something of the corruption of our hearts by nature. Deliver us, Lord, from any sense of self-worth. Lord, deliver us from the spirit of the Pharisee. And Lord, may we be found like that publican of old, who could not so much as lift his eyes up to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, we come before thee as sinners. Lord, we seek that spirit of true confession. For we've each sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, do reveal to us then and lead us in that path of confession. Pour out a spirit of true repentance and godly sorrow. Lord, make us truly sorry for our sins. We pray, Lord, that sin may be a grief to us, our sin. Oh Lord, may we know the shame. Oh, we pray that we may be kept in our right place. We would be low at thy feet. We do pray, Lord, that thy blessing might rest upon us each, granting us that true gift of repentance. Lord, may we know that new birth within our hearts, being born again of the Spirit of God, and quickened and made alive in the things of God. Lord, that we may be conscious and aware of our own failings and shortcomings. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt deliver us from utter despair. Lord, we pray that if there are any in such a place whose heart has been revealed to them in some measure, and feel that guilt and condemnation, We pray that there may be that revealing of Christ Jesus, the sinner's only hope. That maybe lead us to Christ, our only rest. We pray that thou lift up our eyes that we may see him. We think at this time of year, as we in particular remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ at Bethlehem. Oh, we pray that in the busyness of this time of year, that thou grant us those times where we may truly consider him, or that we may go even unto Bethlehem, that we may behold this glorious thing, or that we may, Lord, truly fall before thee and worship thee as Lord of all. Oh, bless us with some view, as dear Simeon of old had, who took up the young child in his arms and blessed and praised God. Now let us, thy servant, depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, we do pray that we may look upon him, the dear babe at Bethlehem, and own him as Lord of all. Oh, we pray that we may go from the manger to Calvary. Oh, Lord, that we may know something and understand something of the reason for his coming. Pray, Lord, that we may trace out our interest and part in these things. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou make it personal to us. Oh, may we not, Lord, be left to stand at a distance, to watch on others, but oh, that we may be made truly partakers. Oh, Lord, do bless us then, we humbly pray. And may thy name be honoured and glorified. Lord, we pray for this cause of truth. We bring them each before thee. Lord, do remember them and be with them. Be with those who are unwell. We pray healing, restoring mercies. Our older friends, Lord, who feeling the infirmities of old age, we do pray that thou be with them and bless them with thy presence, that at evening time it may be light with them. O Lord, that they may prove their last days to be their best days. We pray, Lord, that thou art arise for their help. And we do pray, Lord, that thou remember the churches. Lord, that thou send forth labourers into the harvest. We pray that thou send forth and equip, Lord, those to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, that we may not live to see a famine of hearing of the word of the Lord, but that thou wilt be pleased to send forth more labourers into the harvest. And Lord, may it be fulfilled, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Lord, remember us in this dark and evil day we are called to live in. We mourn, Lord, the spirit of the day. But Lord, thou hast called us in thy infinite wisdom to live in this day and generation. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou would help us to walk rightly before thee. Grant that we may be lights shining in this dark world. And as the days seem to get darker, may the light of the gospel and the witness of thy people shine brighter and brighter. Lord, surely there must be a contrast. May it then be no dimming of the light, but may it shine brighter and brighter. And Lord, as that light shines forth, oh, we do pray that thy blessing might shine into the hearts of many, and that there may be many sinners brought out of darkness into the marvellous light of the gospel. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou remember our nation. Turn the tide of evil and iniquity. Lord, we pray that thou save us from idolatry. Lord, we pray these things personally. Lord, it's easy to look at the world and see what need they have. But may it not be but my own vineyard have I not kept. Lord, it begins with us each. Oh, we pray that thou wilt truly work in us each, to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And Lord, make us right and make us ready. And if in our lives we are to be used of thee for thy honour and glory, then may thy name be praised. And oh, we pray to be in that right spirit. Oh Lord, we pray that we may be kept from pride. That may we be given a right zeal. And may our hearts be burning with right desires. And may our delight be to do thy will, O my God. And so help us here this evening. Lord, do not send us away empty. We've come to hear thy voice, to hear what the Spirit will say to the churches, to hear, Lord, thy word. Oh, we pray that we may hear that still small voice. Lord, we look not for great outward things, but we ask great things, that thou, the Almighty Lord God of heaven and earth, will remember a few poor sinners gathered in Swavesey Chapel and those that are listening online, and in all the great concerns there are, have notice of us and favour us with thy divine favours. So, Lord, we come, we have no name to plead other than our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We are not worthy, but he is worthy. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy beloved Son, in whom thou didst say that thou wast well pleased. And Lord, what a favour it is that poor sinners have the great name of Jesus Christ to plead. And thou art pleased to hear his name upon the lips of poor sinners, pleading for mercy, asking for help, seeking to praise thy great and holy name. Lord, forgive our many sins. Lord, do pardon all that we've asked amiss. forgive anything that is wrong in our worship. Lord, may everything of thee be remembered, and everything not of thee forgotten. And Lord, we pray that thou get all the honour and glory, and forgive where we fail to ask. Many things, Lord, no doubt not mentioned. But oh, we pray that thou wilt make up in giving where we fail in our asking. As we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name, amen.
Hymn number 300. How simple are thy children, Lord, unskilled in what they pray. Full oft they lift a hearty word, yet know not what they say. Hymn number 300.
Thank you.
you turn with me to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. With the Lord's help this evening, I will speak to you from the 13th verse. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Hebrews, chapter 13, and the 13th verse. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. As Paul comes to the end of this epistle, he directs the reader to Calvary. He takes and sets before the Hebrew and before you and I the things that were done, that we read of in the 16th chapter of Leviticus. And he impresses it upon their minds that these things that were spoken of, that were attended to, that the command of the Lord to Moses pointed to something greater. They were a shadowy type of what was to come. And right through this epistle, there is this emphasis on better things, better sacrifice, a better blood, a better priesthood. And here there is then this mention. It's almost as he comes to a close. He would have interspersed in with some practical precepts of the gospel, this directing of the reader to Calvary, to the Lamb of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an altar, verse 10, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The old dispensation is put away. There is no mixing of law and gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those that are serving the tabernacle, they have no right. They have no right to sit there. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel day. There isn't this legality and this Old Testament, the religion in one hand, they must, and the new and living way in the other. That need of the Hebrew to lay aside all these things and to be brought to look entirely in faith, in hope, in complete dependence, and look to Jesus Christ and him alone. And what a great thing it was. And you only have to read the Acts of the Apostles, and you read some of the epistles, and you can get the sense of the struggle and the conflict. Read the epistle to the Galatians, how there was this conflict and this tussle of leaving the old and embracing the new. True living faith must be, is the only answer. And for you and I, not as not as Hebrews, not as Jews, but as Gentiles. That when we're brought to see something of our sin and feel the shame of it, and have that overwhelming sense to be right, and maybe we strive to make ourselves right. But what does the hymn writer say? Cease from your own works, bad or good, because you can't rest on them either sense. What's the secret? And wash your garments, your life, your soul, your garments, your profession. Wash your garments in my blood. No, it's to lay it aside. Not working out our own righteousness. But not seeking to put away our own sin. No, some of us have tried to hide our own sin, to cover our own sin. You can't, and you can't put away, blot out your own sin either. But try we will until the Lord appears in his love and mercy. Are you serving the tabernacle? Is this what you're under? Satan led you back to the Old Testament dispensation, trying to wrap you up in the law and in the keeping of it yourself. Dear friends, it's right to do, to live a good life. But the law, the one failure concerning the law, and we're ruined. We're ruined. And no good work, no good keeping of the law can ever undo that ruin of that first sin that we committed. It cannot save you. It will not save you. However good you might seek to live your life, it will not put away any past sin. And friends, you and I, however good we might be, dear friends, we have sin running right through us. We have sin mixed with all that we do. Oh, what need we have. But he says, we have an altar. We have an altar. Oh, what is set before us? Jesus Christ. Oh, the sweet-smelling savour that ascended from Calvary. Oh, that sacrifice. You know, we read, didn't we, of the fat was burned on the altar. And the burnt offering. And we read, didn't we, of the sweet incense that was put on. And that ascending. Oh, what a savour ascended from Calvary. Oh, what an acceptable sacrifice was offered that day on Mount Calvary. Oh, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And we read it, didn't we? In Leviticus 16, verse 27. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire. The bodies of those beasts, says Paul in Hebrews 13, verse 11, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside of the gate. And so we go, don't we? In our thoughts, they're drawn by the apostle. We trust the Lord himself will draw our thoughts outside the gate to Mount Calvary and to the cross. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Well, there's two senses, dear friends, this evening on my mind concerning this text. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The first sense of it is this welcome and this precious invitation. And may it be so, and may it be applied to you and I personally, that there's that welcome for those who feel to be sinners, to venture in their thoughts to Calvary. We read, didn't we, that when those beasts were taken out, what remained of them and was burnt, the sin, the sinfulness of it, the sin, it was taken without the camp, it was burned with fire. And then the one who took it out would have to take his clothes off and they'd be washed and wash his own flesh. And then dress and then be able to come back into the camp. If you read Leviticus again in your own time, you surely get some sense of the exceeding sinfulness of sin and how it is an abhorrence in the sight of God. And certainly, we don't in the Old Testament sense of the commandments get any sense that others went with that one who took the bodies out to burn them. But here in that New Testament gospel sense, the apostle seeks to encourage us, the reader of his epistle, to go forth therefore unto him. Yes, the Lord Jesus at Calvary was bearing reproach. And this is the first sense of the word, his reproach. He was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That was his life, his earthly life, as Christ the man. But when he was made to be sin, who knew no sin, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, in that special and particular way, the great weight of the sin of the Church of God was put on him. And he became like that scapegoat we read of, the one to bear it away. He who knew no sin became sin. Maybe for us for us. It was for his poor, unworthy people. May you and I know it was for me. For me, he was made sin, who knew no sin. It was my sin, it was your sin that was laid on him. Oh, friends, it's our only hope. No other hope. If your sin wasn't laid on him then, you're lost for eternity, and so am I. Oh, may the Lord reveal what was done at Calvary. Not just in the understanding of what was done, but in the sweet knowledge. Sweet in this. Sweet in the blessing of the receiving of the forgiveness of sin. There was no sweetness for him. But there's what a sweetness there is. Oh, in the heart of a poor, guilty sinner, when the Lord makes known that all this was done for you. Oh, there's nothing, there's no sweeter sound than the Lord to say, I have suffered for thee, my child. He, let us go forth therefore unto him. Oh, as sinners in need. Oh, is there a few seeking souls here this evening? Oh, you're struggling under guilt and condemnation. Hear the voice sounding forth. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, and with the apostle, you'll run to Mount Calvary. Let us go forth therefore unto him. Oh, what willing feet, with what willing feet you'll move to Mount Calvary to see Jesus in the sinner's place. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. My mind went to Psalm 69. Thou hast known my reproach. This is verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonour. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Oh, is sin a burden to you, and is it to me? Let us therefore let us go forth therefore unto him. Oh, there is one and only sacrifice for sin. Oh, that we read of those sacrifices once a year on the Day of Atonement. But friends, these things have come to an end. But this man, this is Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, that one sacrifice for sin forever. And we read, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And there, without the camp, oh, we consider him bearing his reproach, bearing the shame, that the Father, having turned away his face from his only begotten Son, not look upon his Son, turning away his face, and divine justice and wrath of God poured out upon him. You know, when that great gift of the people of God was given by the Father to the Son before the world was made, it meant this, the obligation in that covenant of grace was that the Lord God of heaven, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, would take a human body and soul and lay that down, having lived a spotless life, would lay it down as a sacrifice. And the obligations he was under in receiving that gift from his Father was that he would bear their punishment and bear the shame of their sin and endure for them what they should have endured for an eternity. And this is what the apostle desires to bring before us. Let us there go forth therefore unto him without the camp. There at Calvary, outside the city walls, oh, this glorious God-man, Jesus Christ, this suffers. And he bleeds, and he dies. Oh, this is bearing reproach. The mocking, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the purple robe, the flogging by the soldiers. Oh, what a reproach. Oh, you want to know something of the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Read the Gospels, the accounts of the crucifixion. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, now made to be sin. The putting upon him of the sin of his people, so that the Father cannot look upon him. My God, this is Christ the man. My God, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Bearing his reproach. Oh, may the Lord bless those of you that desire to know some peace with God, desiring to know your sins are forgiven, desiring to trace out your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, may the Holy Spirit of mercy and grace take you by the hand, as it were, and lead you forth without the camp to see the putting away of your sin. Oh, to look on him who you have pierced, bring you to truly mourn for him. Be among those that are found at the foot of the cross, weeping, mourning over sin. Oh, that you might see something of what the hymn writer saw, who found in his meditations, love and grief, my heart dividing, while upon the Lamb I gaze, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The second sense, and maybe this is the intended sense, as it's set out in Holy Scripture. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. He was despised, and he was rejected of men. If you and I are led truly to go forth unto him without the camp, we're leaving something to go forth. Then it's in this sense, this evening, I'd like to really end with speaking of. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. It is to be brought out of the world. It is to be drawn out of the world to leave in our affections and in our ambitions and in our desires, is to go forth unto him, a true follower of the Lord Jesus, being brought into gospel liberty, is to take up the cross and follow him. And taking up the cross is taking up a path of shame. Not shame in the sight of God, it's honourable. It's glorifying to God. But it comes at a cost. It comes with hindrances from the world around. It comes with opposition. It is a path of reproach. And the Apostle Peter, writing in the first epistle, chapter 4, speaks of this. But rejoice, this is verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is it, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified, bearing his reproach. Oh, is maybe this is the fear. Is this the fear that you have? Moses is spoken of in Hebrews 11, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. This is Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25. 24, 25 and 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Oh, I remember when I used to hear a minister quoting, choosing rather to suffer affliction, and in my younger years I used to think, well, who will choose that? No, thank you. No, thank you. But friends, what a difference when the Lord begins to work. And there is a reproach. The world despises, in the most part, if you really understood, that they despise the Lord Jesus. They may be polite outwardly to you if you're a follower, but how often it's not the case, and how often there are times of difficulty and reproach. Reproach has to be borne by followers of the Lord Jesus. And yet, what comfort is there for us? What help is there? As the apostle comes to the end of this epistle, and the early church, certainly the most part of it was made up of those that had been Jews, who were now followers of the Lord Jesus. And what reproach! The hatred of their own former brethren against them. And how they were despised for it. Well, the comfort that Paul gives them. The sweet exhortation he gives them. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. You're bearing his reproach, seeking to witness as a follower of Jesus. But you're struggling. Oh, you're being buffeted more than you probably thought. And from different directions than you probably thought it would come from. Oh, but what can be done? Where can some comfort be found? He says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Oh, in your sorrow, in your difficulty, in your struggles with the witnessing in this dark and evil day, in the profession of faith, in the hardness of the way, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. It's looking unto Jesus. Oh, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer? Then shall I repine? Oh Lord, take me again and bring before me again thy cross and the way that thou didst walk. Show me again the path that thou didst walk for me, on my behalf. And then all will be right. And then my mouth will be silent from murmuring. Then my faith will be strengthened. And surely, surely, then my love to him will flow. Friend, if love doesn't flow from your heart at Calvary, oh, have you any love in there toward the dear Saviour of sinners? Oh, if you've not known what it is to have a heart that loves the Saviour, when you see his cross and Calvary, oh, friends, oh, where is our love? Have we any love? Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, friends, you know in the reality, there's no need to go to Jerusalem. Taking a flight to Jerusalem, going outside the city wall, oh, it might bring the Bible alive to you in some way. But friends, he is not there in that sense. And if you might find where his body was laid for those 3 days in the tomb, dear friends, he is not there. He is risen. And you can even go to Bethany. But friends, he's not there either. Where is he? And I say this in the right sense. Where is he? Dear friends, he's now risen. He is exalted. He is ascended. He has entered into heaven itself. As his people's forerunner, he's for us entered, even Jesus. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, that we might go forth unto him in prayer. A once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour. Yes, we're still bearing his reproach. Oh, but he is in the glory of heaven. Oh, he's there as his people's representative. He's there as our mediator. He's there as our great and glorious high priest. He is there on behalf of his people, representing their interest, their cause in the holiest of all, heaven itself. And there obtaining the blessing. And there granting by his very presence the answers to his poor people's prayers as they come pleading the name of Jesus. Though his very presence speaks on our behalf. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father. You know, you can have all sorts of thoughts at how he mediates for his people. But friends, he's there. And he is there. And he rose bodily. And we're told, Thomas and the disciples, they saw those marks in his hands and his feet. And he rose into heaven. And friends, what a representative. What a mediator. Oh, what can we ask that will not be given if we ask rightly, if we ask in the name of Jesus, if we're asking for his honour and glory. Oh, what can be withheld when a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour sits at the Father's right hand and mediates between God and man? friends, I would encourage you in your prayers to plead the blood that did for sin atone, to plead the merits of the Saviour, to plead the name of Jesus, to plead his worth, his works, oh, to plead who he is, and oh, that you might receive those answers of peace and that help as you seek to walk worthy in this world of sin, still in a body of sin, bearing the reproach as identifying yourself with this our despised master. Oh, he's not despised in our eyes. He's not despised in the eyes of the Father. Oh, and in heaven, oh, the glory, the praise, the adoration of Jesus Christ. Oh, all heaven resounds to his praise, who washed us and cleansed us in his precious blood. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. May God add his blessing. Amen.
The collections today are for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Tomorrow evening, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. On Friday evening and next Lord's Day, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach for us, all according to the Lord's will. Our closing hymn is 623. 623. Whom the Lord Jehovah loves, he in various ways reproves. 'Tis his settled wise decree that his sons chastised shall be. Hymn 623.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.